doesn't go through the skin. The second doesn't either. Only the third time, when he presses harder, frustration overcoming squeamishness, does he manage to cut himself. It hurts a lot. So he's ashamed of how tiny the bead of blood is that wells up. He squeezes his skin to see if he can get a little more. The drop swells. He can sense the shadow's eagerness. His finger stings as a dark fog forms around it. A breeze comes, shaking loose maple seeds. They spiral down around him, coptering through the air on their single wing. Just a little drink every day, he'd heard someone on the television say about their shadow, and it will be your best friend in the world. Although it has no mouth and no tongue and there is no wetness at its touch, he can tell that it's licking his skin. He doesn't like the feeling, but it doesn't hurt. He's never had a best friend before. Still, he knows that they do things like this. They become blood brothers, smearing their cuts together until it's impossible to tell where one ends and the other begins. He needs someone like that. I'm Remy, he whispers to his shadow, and I'll call you Red. 1. Hungry Shadows. Charlie's ugly Crocs stuck to the mats on the floor behind the bar, making a sticky, squelching sound. Sweat slicked the skin under her arms, at the hollow of her throat, and between her thighs. This was her second shift today. The afternoon guy quit abruptly to follow his boyfriend to Los Angeles, and she was stuck with his hours until Odette hired a replacement. But as tired as Charlie was, she needed the cash, and she figured she better keep busy. Keeping busy meant keeping out of trouble. There'd always been something wrong with Charlie Hall. Crooked, from the day she was born. Never met a bad decision she wasn't willing to double down on. Had fingers made for picking pockets, a tongue for lying, and a shriveled cherry pit for a heart. If her shadow had been one of those magic ones, she was pretty sure even that thing would have run away. But that didn't mean she couldn't try to be different. And she was trying. Sure, it had been hard to keep her worst impulses in check these past 10 months, but it was better than being a lit match in a town she'd already doused in gasoline. She had a job, with a timesheet even, and a stolid brick of a boyfriend who paid his share of the rent. Her gunshot wound was healing nicely. Little successes, but that didn't mean she wasn't proud of them. It was on that thought that Charlie looked up to see a test of her resolve walk through the double doors of Rapture Bar and Lounge. Doreen Kowalski's face looked hot and blotchy with crying. She'd obviously tried to fix her makeup, but had wiped her mascara so hard that it winged out to one side. Back in high school, she wouldn't have given Charlie the time of day, and she probably didn't want to tonight either. There are countless differences between the lives of people with money and people without. One is this. Without the means to pay experts, it's necessary to evolve a complex ecosystem of useful amateurs. When Charlie's dad got what the doctor told him was a skin cancer, he drank a fifth of Maker's Mark and asked a butcher friend to cut a divot out of his shoulder because there was no way he could afford a surgeon. When Charlie's friend's cousin got married, they asked Mrs. Silva from three blocks over to make their wedding cake, because she loved to bake and had fancy pastry piping doodads. And if the buttercream was a little grainy or one of the layers was a bit overbaked, well, it was still sweet and just as tall as a cake in a magazine, and it cost only the price of supplies. In the world of shadow magic, Charlie was a successful thief. But to the locals, she would always be a useful amateur, willing to palm a wedding ring or retrieve a dog-napped pit bull. Charlie Hall, drawn to a bad idea like a moth to a wool sweater. Every hustle, an opportunity to let her worst impulses out to play. I need to talk to you, Doreen said loudly, reaching for Charlie as she passed. It had been a slow night at the lounge, but Odette, the ancient, semi-retired dominatrix who owned the place, was sitting at a table out front, gossiping with her cronies. She'd notice if Charlie chatted to one person for too long. And Charlie couldn't afford to lose this gig. Bartending at Rapture was a lucky break, given her track record. It had been arranged by Balthazar, who ran a shadow parlor out of the basement.